The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Dr. Scott Youngkin for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Health Issues. For the next half hour, I'm going to be reading articles from the Mayo Clinic Health Letter. And, in fact, the first article is entitled Plant-Based Diets. It comes from the April issue of the Mayo Clinic Health Letter. Meet your needs with less or no meat. Meatless Mondays, fishy Fridays, the January. We live in a world full of diets with catchy names aimed at reducing meat intake. You probably know people who've cut out or cut back on their consumption of animal products. About 5% of Americans identify as people who don't eat any meat, a diet pattern that is especially popular among younger people. And the number of people who experiment with meat-light diets without cutting it out altogether is even higher. A plant-based diet which emphasizes fruits, vegetables, grains, beans, legumes, and nuts is rich in fiber, vitamins, and other nutrients. Compared with non-vegetarians, people who are mostly or fully vegetarian generally eat fewer calories and less unhealthy fat, weigh less, and have a lower risk of heart disease. Reducing meat, even if you're not fully eliminating it, also has a protective effect. Research shows that people who eat higher amounts of red meat are at an increased risk of death from heart disease, stroke, and diabetes. Processed meat also increases the risk of death from these diseases as well as cancer. There are many approaches to choose from. You can limit calories from animal products, and this has many potential approaches. The vegan diet is the strictest. It excludes meats, poultry, fish, eggs, and dairy products. The pescatarian diet excludes animal products but allows fish. Vegetarian diets generally allow dairy products and eggs. Some people may have a health scare like a heart attack or a cancer diagnosis and abruptly switch to a vegan diet without looking back. Others may take a gradual approach like cutting out processed meat as a starting point or having a meatless day or two a week. If you decide to change your diet, it's a good idea to talk with your healthcare provider or dietitian to review your dietary needs, especially those related to medical conditions like diabetes, osteoporosis, or cancer. Different approaches are right for different people. Sorting out what changes are right for you, if any, could take time, as well as some trial and error. It's especially important for older adults to be aware of their nutritional needs. Aging increases the risk of nutrient deficiency. When moving toward a more plant-based diet, pay special attention to other important nutrients. The first is protein. Protein helps maintain healthy skin, bones, muscles, and organs. Your protein needs can be met with plant-based foods, including beans and other legumes, tofu, nuts, seeds, and some whole grains. Low-fat dairy and eggs can also provide protein if you include them in your diet. Calcium. Calcium helps maintain strong bones and prevent fractures. This is especially important as you age. Milk and other dairy products are high in calcium. However, dark green vegetables like kale, collards, broccoli, turnips, mustard greens, and bok choy are good plant sources of calcium when eaten in sufficient quantities. Calcium-enriched and fortified products, including orange juice, cereal, and many plant-based milks and yogurts are other options. Like calcium, vitamin D plays a vital role in preserving bone health. It's also important for supporting your immune system and reducing inflammation. Vitamin D is added to cow's milk, some brands of plant-based milks, and some breads and cereals. If you have limited sun exposure and don't eat enough fortified foods, you may need a vitamin D supplement. Vitamin D3 supplements are often derived from plants. Then there's vitamin B12. Vitamin B12 is necessary to produce red blood cells and to prevent anemia. It's also important for brain and nervous system function. Dairy and eggs are a good source of B12. Older adults tend to have more difficulty absorbing B12 from food and may want to consider using a supplement. It's especially true of those who are on a vegan diet. Then there's omega-3 fatty acids. These are important for heart and brain health. If fish is part of your usual diet, it can be an ample source of omega-3. Otherwise, good plant sources of omega-3 contain alpha-linolenic acid. This type of fatty acid can be found in walnuts, flax seeds, chia seeds, hemp seeds, flax, soybean, and canola oil. A good source of long-chain omega-3 fatty acids, including docosahexaenoic acid, or DHA, and eicosapentaenoic acid, or EPA, can be found in supplements derived from algae. Iron. Iron is a crucial component of red blood cells, which carry oxygen throughout the body. Iron can be found in molasses, beans and peas, especially legumes, enriched cereals, whole grain products, dark leafy green vegetables, and dried fruits. Iron isn't as easily absorbed from plant sources. The recommended amount of iron for vegetarians is almost double that of non-vegetarians. Then there's zinc. Zinc helps the immune system and metabolism to function. The nutrient is also important to wound healing and for the sense of taste and smell. As with iron, zinc isn't as easily absorbed from plant sources as it is from animal products, and you may require a higher amount of zinc in your diet. Plant sources of zinc include whole grains, soy products, legumes, nuts, and wheat germ. Now, right adjacent to the article I just read is an article entitled News and Our Views. Again, this comes from the Mayo Clinic Health Letter from April of 2022. And this particular article is entitled Bathing and Toileting Equipment is the Key to Aging in Place. When you think about healthy aging, you probably know to hit the basics, going for regular health checkups, taking medications when needed, and following public health protocols. But other basic actions that can affect daily life, like installing grab bars in your bathroom, also have a profound effect on improving health outcomes as you age and helping you to continue to live independently. For one thing, grab bars significantly decrease the risk of falls, a major cause of hospitalization and resulting decline in health for older people. Those basic home health needs are going unmet for many seniors in the United States, according to a recent study in JAMA. Researchers looked at interviews with over 2,600 adults who had self-reported challenges with standing or multiple falls in the past year, or who used a walker indoors. The participants lived on their own, not in a group setting like a nursing home. Of these adults, 42% did not have one or more pieces of health-supporting bathroom equipment. They didn't have grab bars and shower seats for bathing, or grab bars and raised seats for the toilet. When participants were interviewed again 4 years later, their ability to obtain the equipment had barely improved, despite having seen care providers regularly. Home health equipment can play a major role for older adults who want to age in place. Most seniors strongly prefer to stay in their own residence as long as possible. Everyone spends a portion of every day in the bathroom, which requires bending, balance, and strength. Those abilities tend to decline gradually in older adults. It's important to have support, including low-cost assistance equipment. These important pieces of equipment include grab bars. These should be installed in the bath area and near the toilet. A shower chair. This helps prevent falling in the shower. Step-free bath access. This makes bathing easier for those with limited mobility and reduces fall risk. An accessible toilet. The toilet should be 17 to 19 inches high, not the standard 15 inches. A handheld shower head. This is going to be easier to adjust. Solid footing. Avoid loose rugs or secure them to the floor with strong adhesive. Use non-skid strips on the shower floor to prevent slipping. A nightlight. A simple plug-in light can help to avoid problems due to low visibility. You can get these things either at the local medical supply store or drugstore or online. Don't hesitate to ask a friend or a loved one who is handy with tools to help you install these important items in your home. Now we're going to turn to a little bit longer article in the Mayo Clinic Health Letter, and it's entitled Peripheral Artery Disease. Again, this is from the April 2022 issue of the Mayo Clinic Health Letter. And it's subtitled, Getting a Leg Up on a Common Condition. You've found it hard to exercise since the pandemic began. A stroll just isn't the carefree experience it used to be. A couple of times around the block and your calf muscles start to ache. The ache goes away soon after you stop walking, but it returns once you restart. It might be that you have peripheral artery disease, or PAD, a condition that is estimated to occur in about 20% of adults aged 55 and older. In PAD, the arteries of the leg become narrowed or clogged by the same process that causes narrowed and clogged heart arteries. Only instead of having chest pain or a heart attack, the diminished blood flow results in symptoms like leg pain while walking. The good news is that PAD is treatable. One of the best things you can do if you have PAD is to keep walking every day. In addition, your healthcare provider can help you to take steps to improve your cardiovascular health, which can reduce symptoms and keep the pain from getting worse. PAD is often caused by a buildup of fatty deposits in the artery walls, a process called atherosclerosis that eventually reduces blood flow. Since it's the same process that can lead to heart disease and heart attack, those who have PAD are also at high risk of heart disease. In addition to other problems related to atherosclerosis like stroke or kidney damage, although less common, other processes can cause narrowing of the arteries of the leg, like blood vessel inflammation that's called vasculitis, or previous radiation therapy. Pain in the calf or calves while walking, which is called claudication, is the most common symptom of PAD. It's caused by too little blood flow to muscles during physical activity. Other symptoms of PAD include cramping in one or both hips or thighs while walking or climbing stairs, numbness or weakness in one or both legs, coldness in the lower leg or foot, a change in leg color, hair loss or slower hair growth on the feet and legs, slower growth of the toenails, and shiny skin on the legs. When PAD first develops and the arteries just start to narrow, the blood flow is still enough to supply oxygen to the muscles of the legs. During this time, you may not notice symptoms. Your body can gradually develop small blood vessels that detour blood around a blockage. Even with no pain at rest, intermittent claudication may be present, usually in calf muscles. After enough walking or exercise, the pain goes away within a few minutes of stopping activity. If PAD is left untreated, it may worsen. You may start to have pain in your feet or toes, even at rest, wounds that won't heal, or eventually death of tissue that requires an amputation. Smoking and diabetes are the two greatest risk factors. Other risk factors include obesity, high blood pressure, and a family history of PAD. Being older or African American also increases your risk. Essentially, PAD and heart disease share the same risk factors. It may be difficult to know if you have PAD based only on your symptoms and your health history. To screen for PAD, your care provider takes the resting blood pressure in your ankle and compares it with the resting blood pressure in your arm. This is called the ankle brachial index. A regular blood pressure cuff and an ultrasound stethoscope are used. The top or systolic blood pressure reading from your ankle is divided by the systolic blood pressure reading from your arm. And this gives you the ankle brachial index. If your ankle brachial index is within standard range, but you have symptoms of PAD, your provider may repeat the test after you exercise and compare the two results. Initial treatment typically focuses on reducing risk factors. The initial treatment may include not smoking, walking regularly, maintaining a healthy weight, eating a healthy diet of minimally processed plant-based foods, including whole grains, fruits, vegetables, beans, legumes, and nuts. If your care provider determines that you have PAD, treatment depends on your ankle brachial index. Exercise, either at home or in a claudication rehabilitation program, is a mainstay for PAD. Formal programs usually involve exercising on a treadmill for 45 to 60 minutes three times a week for 12 weeks or more. An exercise physiologist, physical therapist, or nurse supervisor watches your progress. Exercise has many benefits for those with PAD, including increased blood flow to the calves and improved muscle strength and endurance. Your provider may prescribe medication to manage diabetes, to lower your blood pressure or lower your cholesterol. Because blood clots may contribute to blockage of narrowed arteries, anti-clotting medications like aspirin may be recommended. A drug called cilostazol or Pletal, P-L-E-T-A-L, helps to reduce blood clotting and to relax blood vessels. The Food and Drug Administration approved this drug for the treatment of PAD. The drug improves walking ability in people with claudication and is often used in combination with a walking program. Side effects include headache and diarrhea. There's a similar drug called naftidrofuril, which has fewer side effects and can be used for PAD, even though it's not approved specifically for PAD. If PAD progresses or suddenly worsens, especially if you have pain at rest, you may need a procedure, and the options include angioplasty. With angioplasty, a balloon-tipped catheter is threaded through a blood vessel to the narrowed part of the artery. When the balloon is inflated, the artery blockage is flattened. This allows the artery to reopen and stretch so that the blood flow is increased. A mesh tube or stent may be left in the artery to prop it open. In addition, some catheters can remove buildup inside an artery by scraping it out or destroying it with a laser. Bypass surgery may be recommended. This involves using a blood vessel from elsewhere in the body or a synthetic tube to reroute blood flow around the blocked or narrowed part of the artery. And then there's also thrombolytic therapy. If a blood clot blocks an artery suddenly, thrombolytic therapy, an injection of a clot-dissolving drug, may be used to break up the clot. And then there's a small attached article which says, higher intensity, greater benefits. If you have PAD, engaging in exercise at home may help you to walk farther without discomfort. According to a new study, for exercise to be most effective, it should be of high enough intensity to cause claudication leg pain. It should also include coaching from an expert. The study included three groups of patients with PAD. One group did high-intensity exercise that produced leg symptoms. A second group did low-intensity exercise that did not produce symptoms. The third group did no exercise. After a year, the high-intensity group significantly improved the distance they walked in 6 minutes, compared with the low-intensity group, which was no better than the group that didn't exercise at all. The authors noted that the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services does not reimburse home-based telephone coaching for a PAD exercise plan. But you can still work with your healthcare provider to develop a rehabilitation plan that incorporates elements of this study. Claudication rehabilitation programs incorporate exercises that lead to the type of improvement that was seen in this study. Then we're going to turn to another article in the Mayo Clinic Health Letter, and it's called Finding Support and Understanding Online. Lori M. and her good friends at the assisted living facility where she lives talk about many things at dinner, including their health. But for her, the conversation only goes so far. All the girls know when I'm not feeling well, and they just look at me and say, "You're having a bad day." I say, "Yeah." As someone with fecal incontinence, she doesn't share what she's really going through. I can't tell them I have had diarrhea 5 times, she says. Fecal incontinence can be severely isolating, keeping people away from friends in public places, and it can make people feel like they have no one to relate to. But Lori has found others she can talk to. Like many people, Lori has found support online, joining a community that allows her to share her experience and to hear from others like her. Lori, 86, joined a group through the Mayo Clinic Connect, Mayo Clinic's online community. She uses her smartphone to participate almost every day. Other support groups are available elsewhere online, on social media sites. Lori takes pride in being upbeat when she shares her thoughts with other members of the online community. I get a lot out of being positive because I get such good feedback, she says. Though she tries, she can't be upbeat all the time. Not long ago, she wrote on the site that she was feeling low. The group rallied behind her and turned her mood around. When I get up in the morning, I really look forward to it, she says. And the article just briefly goes on to mention that there's 3 primary types of fecal incontinence. Urge fecal incontinence, which involves the inability to hold stool before a person can make it to the bathroom and is often due to damaged anal sphincter muscles. Unsensed fecal incontinence, which is when a person loses the ability to feel when their rectum is full, which is often due to nerve damage or medication, and overflow fecal incontinence, which is due to chronic constipation, when a hard mass of stool in the rectum stretches and weakens the anal sphincter. And of course, these different types of fecal incontinence are treated in different ways. Well, that's about all the time that we have at this point. We've run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen next time. I sure hope you enjoyed it. I'm Dr. Scott Youngkin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Health Issues is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.